Christians believe it has been breathed by God, his truth and life into it. And so it's helpful for teaching, rebuking, correcting and training in righteousness so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. If we have a belief in God, if we believe, if we want our lives to be given over to become like Christ, then we have to humble ourselves to receive his life, his power. And to do that, we need then to be into giving ourselves day by day to taking this into our lives. And just the next slide is just a quick reminder then of that one story. And there are those sheets that are available to you. If you want to take one, it's there on the screen. The one story we understand goes through the Old Testament, the story of the people of Israel, utter chaos along the way, and yet God is working through the chaos. And there are prophecies there, the green books in green. The kingdom is split in half. It's all gone messed up, but the kingdom is split in half. But the prophecies come that there will be a better time. The Saviour will come. And there's the intertestamental period there where much seems to happen. And then you get to the Gospels and the birth of Christ and the stories around there about Christ. And all those in blue on the bottom right there are the writings of the first Christians about what this faith means. So we can understand the Bible then as one book. But come to the next slide, and what I want to say as we then approach into this Genesis story is that quote actually there from the Bible course. The first book of the Bible, it's an ancient text, it's thousands of years old, but it still provides the best explanation of all the beauty and tragedy in the world. It's true, isn't it? This world is absolutely fantastic and glorious, wonderful world that it is, and yet it's also so full of evil and mayhem and disaster. And how can you hold and explain those two things together? And the claim of Christian faith then is that it is indeed the you can pick up why that is the case from the stories of Genesis. We'll be looking for the principles in a moment about why that is the case. But first, to remind you, Jenny's got the first reading about the creation from Genesis. It's a bit of a summary, but some of the main points about the creation, about why to explain this world that we have with so much beauty and glory and yet so much mayhem and problems too.
So this starts at Genesis 1 and hops around a bit. I'll give you the verses as we go. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. Then God said, "Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." This verse 27. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground." God saw that all he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening and there was morning, the sixth day. Chapter 2. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he'd been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God. So you remember then the 6-7 days of creation, and doesn't have to be taken literally, but what the story is telling us. And remarkably, there's a real parallel with the phases of evolution if you read back over those days. How they knew that, I'm not quite sure. But the whole sense that God is making this and bringing his creation into being, and it's not just good, it is very good. The whole of the creation is just very, very good. God has made it so. And so the people may get hung up with, "Well, I can't believe that the world was created in 6 days." But the Bible is not trying to do that, obviously, about give exact science about it. And there's the quote here on the next slide might help. The Francis Collins, the former head of the Human Genome Project, said this: The God of the Bible is also the God of the genome. He can be worshipped in the cathedral, in the laboratory. His creation is majestic, awesome, intricate, and beautiful. And so science focuses on how does it happen, doesn't it? How did the earth come into being, and how has life developed as it has? The Bible asks why. Why are we here? What's the point? What's the purpose behind it all? Why is there good and evil? So there doesn't have to be any conflict at all, just answering different types of questions. And so what are those questions that creation stories can answer for us? Again, there's a summary on the next slide here. First of all, to say, all these can just be drawn out from those first couple of chapters of Genesis. There is purpose to life, and it is good. And when you talk to your friends and neighbours and so on, just hold that with them, that there is purpose to life and it is good. Because my guess is there's an awful lot of, there's no point, make it up as we go along, we'll do the best we can, but there's actually no real purpose to it all. The existentialism of the 20th century has become ingrained in our kind of thinking and feeling, I would guess, that there's no point. Absolutely not. The Bible would tell us that is absolutely not the case. There is purpose to life, and it is good. And we are to know that purpose. And God is the creator, majestic and mighty. There is a real force behind our life as we know it on this earth and through the universe. And Genesis never actually says it, does it? But you have to piece things together from the Bible to get the whole picture. It's when you get to the New Testament, you get the absolute clear statement in John's letters, God is love. That is why it happened. God is love. He creates out of his love, and he creates because he wants the creation, he wants relationship. He does so out of love. And so to say again, the creation is good. And amazingly, man, woman are made in the image of God, the story tells us. And therefore, we have massive potential to be like God, made in his image, loving, creating, majestic. Be like him, we are made in his image. And therefore you can see some of the fantastic things that there are in this earth, as well as the creation itself, the technology, all of that coming out of being made in the image of a creator God. And you can also say from this, we're made for community. And if we try to live on our own and in isolation, it's not going to work. It is not good for man, woman to be alone, those words from Genesis. And you could also pick up one or two other things as well about the need for rest is integrated into our existence. And if we don't have rest for ourselves, for the planet, for all things, then there's going to be something fundamentally awry with the creation. So you can just take out those general principles there. And it does say to us that mankind is, for all of our failings, is absolutely central to God's purposes. If you read some works by environmentalists, they look forward to the day when mankind has gone, when we've killed ourselves off and we've just left the earth to as it was before humankind came. A Christian cannot hold that view. A Christian will hold that mankind, womankind, has a central purpose in God's plans and purposes. And so on the next slide, we have these two famous quotes about how we are to find fulfillment. These ancient words here from St. Augustine. You made us for yourself, O God, and our hearts will always be restless until they find their rest in thee. And man's, from the Westminster Greater Catechism of the 17th century, man's chief and highest end is to glorify God and to fully enjoy him forever. And again, when you talk with friends and neighbours about what their plans are and what they're trying to build their life on, then you can just try and hold before them. There'll always be a wrestling and a discontent unless there's a humbling before the God who made us and come back to him to find our rest in him and to enjoy him, to enjoy our relationship with God. And so coming back again to day by day, we need that humbling before God to receive his life and power in our lives. So glorious, what a wonderful world. There was a song about it, wasn't there, sometime? But then, what happens into the next slide? The fall. And Lisa has the reading there.
The reading is from Genesis chapter 3, titled The Fall. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord called to the man, "Where are you?" He answered, I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid. And he said, Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree from which I commanded you not to eat? The man said, The woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree, and I ate it. God said, Because you listened to your wife and ate fruit from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat from it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil, you will eat food from it all the days of your life. So the Lord God banished him from the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he had been taken. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. So again, what principles do we take from that story of the fall in chapter 3 of Genesis? Well, first of all, surely that there's an ever-present potential for things to go wrong, to be mucked up, for evil to come in, ever-present. In your workplace, in your family relationships, in yourself, wherever you are, there's that ever-present possibility that evil will just be able to come in as we make the wrong choices and allow evil to be there. We would disobey, we would just say that God is wrong. You can have his kind of power that is really his, about having that power over good and evil. We can choose to eat from that, the Genesis story, from the apple from that tree. We can go our own way. We don't need God. We can reject him and push him out, and then evil can come in. And in Christian parlance, what that means, of course, is that we sin. Man and woman sin. We disobey God, we fall away from him, and then evil comes in and the disruption and all the problems. And if you just reflect and think about situations, you know that once evil has been allowed, it just grows, doesn't it? Unless it just goes on until, unless something stops it, unless something comes in and cuts across it and says, we're going to bring back the presence of God into those situations, whether that's overtly or not. But evil will have its own force and power. And so man and woman then, in that state of sinning, of allowing evil to come in, there are consequences that we experience in our daily lives and around the world. There is separation from God. God, we've pushed him aside, left him out, and so there's separation from him, the majestic creator of love and power, is gone from our lives. And we experience it as shame. Though Adam and Eve did, didn't they? But they realized they were naked, they wanted to cover themselves up, they tried to hide away from God. And take that word shame, my guess is that all of us, and your friends and neighbors, have some sense of shame. Because what it means is, you're not good enough. And there'll be that inner voice just saying to you, I am not good enough, I'm failed in some ways, I'm just, whatever some situations, I just can't do it, and I'm not good enough. And that is a lie that comes from that sense of separation from God. So that shame is there, and to say again that evil will be allowed just to come into those situations. So there is a problem, and the problem goes on. The glory of the magic, the creation, but ever-present possibilities for it to be messed up by our bad choices of pushing God out. And then this most poignant verse maybe in the whole Bible on the next slide. Before a few chapters later, it's gone horribly wrong. There's the first murders happen in the Bible, and God says this, as recorded as saying this, the Lord saw how great the wickedness of the human race had become on the earth, and that every inclination of the thoughts of the human heart was only evil all the time. The Lord regretted that he had made human beings on the earth, and his heart was deeply troubled. Regretted making human beings. And you can sympathise and identify with that, like the environmentalists today saying, you know, goodbye mankind, good riddance, and so on. The mess that mankind can make of the creation, and God's heart was deeply troubled. So you get the story of the flood and the story of Noah, and a nice animated picture there, isn't it? All the animals and birds and so on coming and going along the way. And so it should have been a fresh start, but what happens? Goes back to making the wrong choices, mankind, and more evil comes into the world. And so the next slide, and we go on and more chapters through Genesis, you get to the Tower of Babel. Remember the story? Well, actually, we've got a video clip to remind you.
There was a time all the people of the world spoke the same language and used the same words. As the people migrated to the east, they found a plain in the land of Babylonia and settled there. they began saying to each other, "Let's make bricks and harden them with fire." Then they said, "Come, let's build a great city for ourselves with a tower that reaches into the sky. We will make a name for ourselves, which will keep us from being scattered all over the world." But the Lord came down to look at the city and the tower the people were building. "Look," said the Lord, "the people are united and they all speak the same language. After this, nothing they set out to do will be impossible for them. Come, let's go down and confuse the people with different languages. Then they won't be able to understand each other." The Lord did this because of the pride in the people's heart and their disobedience of the Lord's instructions to spread out over the earth. In that way, the Lord scattered them all over the world, and they stopped building the city. So the city became known as Babel, because that is where the Lord confused the people with different languages. In this way, he scattered them all over the world.
Again, the same problem of human pride, and you may want to read a commentary to understand more of that story where God is saying, "Let us," what's that all about? But the point there of the story again, that the human pride just comes, we think we can do it, we can build our towers, we can build a wonderful world on our own, but we cannot. Human pride is coming in the way. So, God has made all the potential for a glorious world, but human choice again and again is just meaning that it's not going to be that way. So what does God do? What do you do about it if that's the case? Well, the next slide then, it seems that according to the Genesis story, according to our faith, then there is a nomad called Abraham who seems to be a friend of God. Somehow, some way, he has come to a relationship with God, and God starts to work through this man, Abraham. He's over there on the top right-hand side, wandering around that area that's currently Syria, Ur of the Chaldees over there. He's wandering down into the current area of the Israel-Palestine. He ends up in Egypt, and then he gets this call with God, the Genesis story tells us, to make his life, his home in Canaan. And there's this word in the next slide, just to make sure we got that for a moment, we've got to go back a minute just to see that sense of wandering and there. So God is sent a God calling a people into that place, because that's obviously going to be absolutely central to the story now through the Bible. So make sure we've got that. And here's then the covenant that God makes with Abraham. And a covenant is a promise, isn't it? I will do this. I will bless you if you do the X, Y, Z. And that's what God says to Abraham, a formal agreement between him, between God and Abraham. And there are three main promises that God gives to Abraham. There will be a great nation built from him. Abraham means father of many. There will be the promised land, the Canaan, now Israel, Palestine, called the Promised Land, also in the Old Testament. And there will be global blessing. All families on the earth will be blessed through Abraham's line, is the promise, through his line. And so again, take the principles of the story, what's going on. You can just see on the next slide how that works through. So here, got Abraham at the top there, and you remember your old Sunday school lessons that he has through with Sarah, his wife. He has Isaac. And Isaac, with his wife Rebekah, has two children, Jacob, Esau. Remember, Esau is cheated out of his birthright, and it ends up with Jacob. Jacob has those 12 sons who become the 12 tribes of Israel, and one of those sons by Leah is Judah. And tracing through again through the Old Testament, then the line continues, because David, King David, the greatest king of Israel, is of the tribe of Judah, and Jesus is born into the line of David. So it's worked through. The promise is the understanding of Christian faith, the Bible. It's worked through from Abraham through there to Christ. But what an awful lot of mayhem and turmoil along the way there is too. If you want to, again, what Richard was saying about the violence in the Bible, just read towards the end of the Bible a story about Judah, an ancestor of Jesus. Absolutely horrific what he was up to. And yet God is working through this mayhem, and all this turmoil is the story of the Bible. And so we'll come back to the final slide, which is actually one we saw earlier, and that is the one to focus on and celebrate now, that is what we're meant, is meant to be. That's how life is to be. There is purpose to life. It is good. We have a creator who loves us. We are made in his image. We have potential to be like God in made in community and integrating work and rest into our lives. That is the kingdom to be restored. That is what the whole, towards the end of the story, that is how we're working towards getting back to that. But in the meantime, there is that problem of the fall, of mankind making the wrong decisions, of evil being allowed into the world. And I pray then that we will take this and be excited about it, but we will also, more than that, want to take this daily and read it into our lives. Amen. And there is the song on your song booklet. There's a line that you have. All the ends of the earth have seen the power of God. All the ends of the earth have seen the power of God. Psalm 98. And the singers, I think, will lead you into when your line comes. We're going to remain seated to sing this through.
Has won the victory for him. His holy arm. All the ends of the earth have seen the power of God. All the ends of the earth have seen the power.
His salvation known, his justice revealed to all. Remembered his kindness and faithfulness to Israel.
All the ends of the earth have seen the power of God.
Have seen salvation by our God. Joyfully sing out, all you lands. Break forth in song.
All the ends of the earth have seen the power of God. The earth has seen the power of God.
Sing to the Lord with harp and song, with trumpet and with horn. Sing in your joy before the King. The King our Lord.
All the ends of the earth have seen the power of God. All the ends of the earth have seen the power of God.
Please sit or kneel to pray. And the confession is on your order of service. And you may like just have a moment to read through it and make sure you're happy to say the words in bold. And when we make a confession, it's for ourselves to grow in God's love, but it's also for his world, interceding for a world that often chooses to allow evil in. By the Holy Spirit, the church is empowered in prayer, worship, service, giving, sharing, telling others. Sin quenches the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit grows love within us. We confess we often prefer to remain selfish. The Holy Spirit grows joy within us. We confess we often prefer to be negative and critical. The Holy Spirit grows peace within us. We confess we often remain in anxiety. The Holy Spirit grows patience within us. We confess we are often self-obsessed. The Holy Spirit grows kindness within us. We confess we are often apathetic. The Holy Spirit grows goodness within us. We confess we have sins we struggle to give up. The Holy Spirit grows faithfulness within us. We confess we often prefer to be uncommitted. The Holy Spirit grows gentleness within us. We confess we are often angry in spirit. The Holy Spirit grows self-control within us. We confess we often prefer to be self-indulgent. May the God of all healing and forgiveness draw you to himself and cleanse you from all your sins, that we may behold the glory of his Son, the Word made flesh, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And we continue in prayer as David leads us in the intercessions.
In peace, let us pray to Jesus our Lord, who ever lives to intercede for us. Saviour of the world, be present in all places of suffering, violence, and pain, and bring hope even in the darkest night. We continue to pray for the country of Sudan, still in transition after the military took control, after the deposing of its former president in April, amidst widespread civilian protest and violence by paramilitaries. We pray for the release of opposition leaders arrested on Friday and Saturday, and that the attempts at mediation by the Ethiopian Prime Minister would be successful. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord of the Church, empower by your Spirit all leaders working for peace and prosperity in every land. We think of the commemorations of D-Day last week and the sacrifice, bravery, determination, and valour displayed by British, Canadian, and American forces onto the beaches at Normandy, 75 years ago. And we thank you that the May Day bank holiday next year will now be timed to coincide with the 75th anniversary of VE Day, 1945, lest we forget. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Shepherd and guardian of our souls, guide and enable all who lead and serve our country, particularly Theresa May, continuing as Prime Minister until a new Conservative leader is elected. We pray for the right leader for our country at this time of turmoil and uncertainty, who can unite us together and the differing factions so that we may all work for peace and for the flourishing of our land and economic partners. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Jesus, great physician, stretch out your hand to bring comfort, wholeness, and peace to all who suffer in body, mind, or spirit. Fill us with compassion that we may be channels of your healing love. And we would remember at this time, especially Stacey Van Niekerk, Helen Bennett, Hazel Shearing, Steve Brooks, Alex, Brian Lynch, Irene Packham, Rob Hedges, Helen Marin, Emma, Doreen Williams, and Morgan Thomas. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
And we draw our prayers together with the words, Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
And in a moment of quiet, may you be able to offer to God any of your own concerns and where evil has come to you in some way, whether it be an unkindness or an act of crime, or your fear about other situations. And claim the promises of God that his peace he gives to you in all situations. And be determined to go on day by day receiving his love and peace. Amen. The faith that is the meaning of our lives and is to shape and form us. From your order of service, we're going to stand to declare together. Do you believe and trust in God the Father, source of all being and life, the one for whom we exist? We believe and trust in him. Do you believe and trust in God the Son, who took our human nature, died for us and rose again? We believe and trust in him. Do you believe and trust in God, the Holy Spirit, who gives life to the people of God and makes Christ known in the world? We believe and trust in him. Do you believe in God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who will bring his kingdom of healing, justice, and righteousness? This is our faith. We believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. God has made us one in Christ. He has set his seal upon us, and as a pledge of what is to come, has given the Holy Spirit to dwell in our hearts. Hallelujah. The peace of the Lord be always with you. And please celebrate and pray for more of the Holy Spirit in our lives. The offertory hymn for the work of the church in Westcott. Holy Spirit, living breath of God, breathe new life into my willing soul. We remain standing to sing. You're invited to just keep the quiet and pray, to reflect on the situations around you for your own filling of the Holy Spirit. The confession picks up what is the promise to you as you seek his presence day by day, by prayer, by the Holy Spirit coming to you, by reading his word. You will become more a person of love, of joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Pray for yourself and others that we will be such a people. And we proclaim that the Lord is here. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right. It is our duty, our joy, always and everywhere, to give you thanks, Holy Father, almighty and everlasting God, through Jesus Christ, your only Son, our Lord. This day we give you thanks because in fulfillment of your promise, you pour out your Spirit upon us, filling us with your gifts, leading us into all truth, and uniting peoples of many tongues in the confession of one faith. Your Spirit gives us grace to call you Father, to proclaim your gospel to all nations, and to serve you as a royal priesthood. Therefore, we join our voices with angels and archangels, with all those in whom the Spirit dwells, to proclaim the glory of your name, forever praising you and saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. How wonderful the work of your hands, O Lord. As a mother tenderly gathers her children, you embrace the people as your own. When they turned away and rebelled, your love remained steadfast. From them you raised up Jesus, our Saviour, born of Mary, to be the living bread in whom all our hungers are satisfied. He offers his life for sinners, and with a love stronger than death, he opened wide his arms on the cross. On the night before he died, he came to supper with his friends, and taking bread, he gave you thanks. He broke it and gave it to them, saying, Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. At the end of supper, taking the cup of wine, he gave you thanks and said, Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant which is shed for you and for many, for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Dying, you destroyed our death. Rising, you restored our life. Lord Jesus, come in glory. Father, we plead with confidence his sacrifice made once for all upon the cross. We remember his dying and rising in glory, and we rejoice that he intercedes for us at your right hand. Pour out your Holy Spirit as we bring before you these gifts of your creation. May they be for us the body and blood of your dear Son. As we eat and drink these holy things in your presence, form us into the likeness of Christ and build us into a living temple to your glory. Bring us at the last with all the saints to the vision of that eternal splendor for which you have created us through Jesus Christ our Lord, by whom, with whom, and in whom, with all who stand before you in earth and heaven, we worship you, Father Almighty, in songs of everlasting praise. Blessing and honour and glory and power be yours forever and ever. Amen. And please sit or kneel to pray. The now and not yet of the kingdom. The now is that Christ's redemption is there for us. We live in the age of the Spirit. The not yet is that there is to be the time of God's kingdom to fully come, where God is reconciled again, fully, with his creation. We watch, work, and pray for that time and say together, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. We break this bread to share in the body of Christ. Though we are many, we are one body, because we all share in one bread. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Happy are those who are called to his supper. Lord, I am not worthy to receive you, but only say the word and I shall be healed.
I will come to you in the silence. I will come to you, all your fears. You will hear my voice. I claim you as my choice. Be still and know I am here. I am hope for all who are hopeless. I am eyes for all who long to see. In the shadows of the night, I will be your light. Come and rest in me.
Do not be afraid, I am with you. I have called you each by name. Come and follow me, I will bring you home. I love you and you are mine. I am strength for all the despairing, healing for the ones who dwell in shame. All the blind will see, the lame will all run free, and all will know my name. Do not be afraid, I am with you. I have called you each by name. Come and follow me, I will bring you home. I love you and you are mine. I am the word that leads all to freedom. I am the peace that world cannot give. I will call your name, embracing all your pain. Stand up and walk and live. Do not be afraid, I am with you. I have called you each by name. Come and follow me, I will bring you home. I love you and you are
faithful God, who fulfilled the promises of Easter by sending us your Holy Spirit and opening to every race and nation the way of life eternal, open our lips by your Spirit that every tongue may tell of your glory. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. On your song booklet, Love Divine, All Loves Excelling, Joy of Heaven to Earth Come Down, we stand to sing our final hymn.
Oh.
Some of the words of the blessing are yours, and the words in bold on your order of service. As we leave this place, come, Holy Spirit. In mighty power and strength, come, Holy Spirit. In gentleness and peace, come, Holy Spirit. Go with us as we leave. Come, Holy Spirit. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you now and always. Amen. Go in peace and joy to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ, amen.